Hi, welcome to Hey Y'all Que Lo Que Incorporated. My name is Bernard Mejia and I'll be interviewing you today. How are you?
Other than being unemployed, I'm fantastic.
Great. So tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, before I lost my job, which happened to be on April Fool's Day, I was a manager in hospitality, which basically means I had to fill coffee urns, coddle Karens, and tell employees to stay off of their fucking phones, even though I'd rather be using my degree doing something creative. But, you know,
okay, well, it sounds like you have experience managing a team and good leadership skills, which is something we look for in candidates here at Hey Y'all Que Lo Que.
Okay, good.
So what has you seeking new opportunities?
Well, I'm fucking broke and I don't have a job. And did I mention I'm broke? So that has me seeking new opportunities. My last job was a total shit show, but it paid the bills. Then stupid ass COVID fucked that up. They did have good benefits, though. Does this role provide benefits?
Well, the great thing is that we do offer benefits, but we may not cover dental or vision or health, I think, or offer life insurance. But we do have complimentary coffee. And like you said, you have experience in that area. So it does seem like it'd be a good fit for you. Thank you so much for sitting down with me. It was really great speaking with you today. We have a lot of other candidates to interview, but we've honestly been eyeing the owner's son, you know, somebody internally. But like I said, it was really great speaking with you. Thank you for your time, and we will be in touch.
Okay, well, I have a couple of questions. And
take care.
Well, that was humiliating. This sucks. Hey, y'all.
Que lo que? I usually don't wear pants. I mean, I wear pants. I don't wear like my interview pants. I wear like a pair of shorts or something. Uh-huh. It just keeps things fun. I don't know.
I feel like girls would have a more like involved time getting ready for a virtual interview because
we
want to make sure like our top half looks good, like our head, like our face.
Yeah.
Like, you got to put on your mascara. You got to, like, make sure your eyebrows look good. You got to do your hair.
I forget that women go through all that.
Yeah, like, do I wear a necklace or do I not wear a necklace? Like,
these decisions matter.
I mean,
they matter.
And do I wear, what necklace do I wear? Is it going to be, it would be, because I've never had a virtual interview. Which kind of sucks.
You're not missing nothing.
That means I just, you know, I haven't been interviewed anytime soon.
and recently, right?
Yeah, I know. Hopefully one day.
Yeah, yeah.
Are we recording?
I think we're live again.
Oh.
I think we're good.
Oh my gosh. Finally, episode 2.
Here we are.
How are you?
Well, everybody, welcome back to Hey Y'all Que Lo Que, a podcast where we talk about cultural similarities, the challenges of getting older, and meeting each other along the way.
Yeah.
We are your hosts. I'm Bernard.
And I'm Elizabeth.
And we are going to talk about
the fun adventures of job searching.
The interview process. Woo! Which
oh,
I'm sure
my gosh.
So many people have such good experience with. This year in particular.
Oh my gosh, right. Especially around this time. Like, okay, first off, happy fall, y'all.
Yeah, today's the first day of fall, isn't it?
Today is the first day of fall.
It is.
And I love that the first day of fall is falling on our second episode that we're going to record.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's like a new season, new little adventure that we can hopefully look forward to the fall of.
Yeah.
All the horrible things that have been happening in 2020.
Right. I was
like, what were you going to say?
Oh, no, I was going to say and I told you this earlier, but like my birthday was last week. And so.
Oh, yeah. Happy birthday, Bernard.
Thank you. And I know every year that like the day after my birthday, you can start wearing a hoodie at least in the morning. But yeah, hopefully all the bullshit falls this year.
Yeah. Hopefully it falls and it flushes down the toilet.
Right. All the way down.
So that skit that you guys heard, it's actually kind of funny because it's based this has been based on true events. So
we're just laughing through our tears.
Yeah. You know, so sometimes you laugh so hard you cry. Mm. Anyway, skip all that. But I'm just gonna kind of like hightail into it.
Yeah.
So at the beginning of the year, I was working at the airport.
Mm-hmm.
But COVID fucked that up. So
joy.
Yeah, it was amazing. Oh my gosh. Ugh. I lost my job literally on April Fool's Day. I was gonna say it was so funny, but I guess the
joke is on you though.
Yeah, the joke is definitely on me. Yeah, they were like, okay, Elizabeth, it's come the time where I'm like, look, y'all, cut the crap. I get it. Like, it's time for me to go. Like, no passengers.
They're trying
are
to ease
coming.
You into
yeah,
the
yeah, they really were. And I was like, we've already closed so many of these little clubs in the airport. Like, I get it. Like, my job is no longer existing. Anyway, so I've been on unemployment for, look, I can't even speak now.
It's like, 5 months now, right? Since April?
Yeah, 5 months. Is it?
I guess so.
April, May, June,
July, we're coming up
August.
On October, so just
yeah,
about.
Yeah, I was mm-hmm. like, I think it's going to be 6 months soon.
Look at that.
But anyway, so
half a whole year dedicated to being unemployed.
Yeah, but it's a blessing.
Yeah.
And a curse, but you know, I'm an optimist, so I like to look at the blessing part of it more so than the curse.
Mm-hmm.
Bernard started going back to school, right?
Yeah. So funny thing about that is that I wasn't happy with my employment situation before, and I decided it'd be a good idea to go back to school. And I just happened to choose a time when we're going through all of this stuff, right? And the cherry on top is that I hopefully will graduate in December.
You will.
I will. I will. That's right. I will graduate in December.
You speak it into existence.
But with that also comes the fact that I need to find a job. And so I have to navigate the job landscape again. And I got to get ready to move back into full-time work. And this whole school thing has been crazy during this time, because it's almost like I don't – like my professors – like, I don't really have them in front of me, you know what I mean? So it's kind of weird, you know, but
it's kind of like they give you assignments, mm-hmm. and you know you have to complete them.
Yeah.
But what are they like to you? Like, are they like ghosts?
Well, they're not really, yeah, like, yeah. Who live, like, I guess they're kind of like phantom professors, right? Like, they're there, but they're not really there, you know? So, but aside from all of that, I am trying to, you know, I'm trying to get back into the job market, and joy, everyone has a hiring freeze right now.
Oh, great.
Isn't that like awesome for my timing? You know, so, but for the people that actually are, hiring, I've, you know, explored an interview process with a company that I really wanted to work with even before I was in school, you know, and I felt like, oh, well, maybe this is a good time to kind of dip my toe in the water, see, you know, things didn't work out the last time. I got all the way to the end. Let me try again. And I only found out that the interview process is even more elaborate than it was before. And it was pretty extensive before. I had like 3 interviews. Now it turns out that it was like 4, and they gave me homework. And I mean, there was one interview with the recruiter, right? I spoke to the recruiter. Cool. Everything went well. Then there was another interview with a recruiter and a manager. And then it was just a manager. And then it was 2 managers. And it's like I was leveling up in this video game of interviewing. You know, I was going through like the whole process, only to find out that
your
actually...
armor wasn't good enough.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. My armor, I was ill-equipped for the boss that I was getting ready to fight in the last interview for my video game nerds. I had to get some mana. I had to level up, all that stuff.
You had to go back in, like, the other world and, like, look for, like, different, like, medicines and, like, tools
right.
and stuff like that.
All the potions. Yeah. I pulled all the potions out.
You pulled all the potions out.
Only to find out that the person that they actually offered the job to already worked for the company. It was another internal hire. So,
how'd you find that out?
They told me. They told me. I was just as shocked as your face is right now.
That is a confident company, I guess.
You know what I mean? I was just like, I can't believe you actually, like, told me that you chose someone internally anyway. You decided to move forward with somebody internally
anyway. But they were like, hey, this guy that we've been stringing along, let's just tell him.
Whatever. We're meeting, like, the quota. We're meeting the quota. We got enough people.
Let's just let him know, like, your time is up.
And I'm just going to be okay with that. So, you know, I've been through a few interviews, but I thought that one was particularly interesting because they took so much time only to tell me that they were going to do what they had planned to do from the very beginning and go with somebody that they already knew. So that was so much fun. But I know you've told me about your experiences in the interview process.
Yeah, well, I wish I could tell you more about the interview process.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't necessarily actually gone through an interview since everything has happened.
Right. Well, the job searching process.
But I have applied for different jobs. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy because, like, when you apply for certain jobs, then they start feeding things to you.
Yep.
Like, I just, like, you put your resume online and they, I guess they, like, weed it. Like, and they just, like, digest it.
Yes, weird. And like,
dissect it. That's the word I was looking for. Yep. They dissect it, and then they're like,
they pick out all these words, yeah. And they're like, oh, this matches, this matches, this matches, this matches. You must be qualified for this job.
Right. And because I have my little bachelor's degree, they're like, hey, Elizabeth, you could be, bachelor's. And since I have my photography degree, they say, I could be like an X-ray something or another.
Like an X-ray technician? Like a radiologist or something?
Yes, and a radiologist, like, or something. And I'm like,
a bachelor's is a bachelor's, I guess,
look,
right?
And, like, I look at the salary and I'm like, I mean, look, if you think I'm qualified for it, like, I'll do my best. Like, I have a lot of spirit and a lot of heart and I'm a quick learner. Which
show me where the machine's at and tell me how to turn it on.
Right, you know, like those little personal skills that you put at the bottom of your resume? Yeah. Like, quick learner.
Great interpersonal skills.
Right. I'm like, I can do it. Like, thank you so much. But it's gotten to a point now where I'm just like, F it. Like, yeah. I just want to do something that I enjoy doing.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'll type in fun jobs in Atlanta. And, and hey, things pop up. Like, they do.
Like, what?
Like, dog walker. And, like, to me, I'm like, okay, that sounds, like, fun.
Which,
like,
is awesome. I would love to get paid to walk Tony, my boxer. Like, I would love for that. Or, you know, someone to pay me to walk Tony.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, Bernard, you can pay me to walk Tony. Because clearly, I'm looking. Another.
What's
one
your experience?
See, and that's what sucks, too, is because I only had a childhood, like, I had a dog when I was younger, but I don't have one now, so I have a feeling that even if I did want the dog walking job, they would be like, sorry, you don't have a dog, you're not, like, a vet tech, like, oh my god, like, sorry, you can't have this job. I'd be like, oh my gosh, but I want to walk this dog, and I would love to.
And it's fun.
Also, like, fucking broke, so let me walk your damn dog. If you can afford it, please, by all means.
Right.
But it's funny because it's like you get these, like, job offers that, like, through your email that make no sense.
Yeah. Indeed, and all those places are just matching you with everything. The whole applicant tracking system, everything is, like, you know, automated.
Yeah, tell me more about that, because I know you read an article or, like, you did some research.
Yeah, I did a little bit in for a school assignment, but basically there's, like, over 95% of Fortune 500 companies that use these systems where they just match you based on, like, keywords that you put in your resume with all these jobs and stuff. So what you get is a whole bunch of people applying to these jobs based on these words that they put in their resume or how they describe themselves. And it's probably not even what you're qualified for, what you're looking to apply for, you know? And it's very weird, like, trying to navigate that whole thing. But, I mean, it sounds like you're feeling the brunt of it right now.
Yeah, I'm definitely feeling the brunt of it. I think the most exciting one that I actually thought about applying to was a part-time trash collector.
Which sounds fun.
Well, does it? This is what intrigued me about it. All you have to do is have a pickup truck, which my mom's got one of those that I can use. And you just drive to, like, these apartment complexes around here, and you just pick up their, like, trash bags. And
so it's not like the official trash people that come up in the dump truck.
And that's what, and you know what, that's probably why I'm kind of,
which I think is cool once you obviously get over the smells and stuff.
I'm kind of like, ugh. I'm like, well, that's no fun. Like, mm-hmm. I have to drive the truck, pull up to an apartment, walk up the stair, which is good, because then I could cancel my gym membership.
Yeah, it's a good workout.
It's an amazing workout.
Yeah.
But
it makes you wonder.
It's like I've gotten to this point now, and I don't know if, like, you all as our listeners have gotten to this point where it's just like, man, I'll do fucking anything.
Right.
As long as I enjoy it and it pays my bills. And, like, if I can go home and, like, sleep good at night.
Because that's the bottom line.
Yeah, and another thing, too, that's important to me is, like, I don't want to bring work back home to me. And that's what I was doing, like, when I worked at the airport.
Preach.
Like, as a manager. Yeah, like, when I was, like, yeah, as a hospitality manager, like, you bring that stress home.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I don't want that. Like, I worked for a guy, side note. Mm-hmm. I worked for a guy, and he said that his dream, and this was my general manager when I worked at the airport in New York.
Mm-hmm.
My GM, he's like, Elizabeth, my dream job would be to be the CVS clerk that I see every now and then.
It's amazing.
Yeah, he's like, I would just love to have his job. I just need his job and my salary. And I was like, okay, well, good luck. But he was
right. Yeah, good luck applying with GM on your resume,
but
being overqualified.
He was like, that's my dream job.
Yeah.
And I think maybe that happens is, like, when you work your way up so high in an industry that, like your heart is not, like, in it,
mm-hmm.
you get to that point where you're like, oh, my gosh, please, like, I'll go pick up trash bags in an apartment and drive around in my truck and work alone and go home and not have to worry about other people's problems. It's.
I mean, shit. You know, I would absolutely be. You know, I would be down to do something that people need done. You know, but you know, when you and this goes back to, like, you know, your GM applying for this or not applying for that job, but thinking about the job that would be fulfilling to them. If they were actually to go ahead and apply for the job with that kind of experience. Oh, my God, forget about it. I'm in the process of trying to get the master's. You know what I mean? I'm trying to get my master's degree. And when you're overqualified, you're ruled out. You know what I mean? When you're underqualified, you're ruled out. When you don't have the experience, even for entry-level jobs, you're ruled out. So what's the deal? Like, you know what I mean? Like, can I just do something to just pay my bills? Yeah, I don't care what kind of...
What kind of
education I have, you know what I mean? Like,
you can, you know what that's called?
What's that?
Waiting tables.
That's true.
Hey, let me tell you something.
I made some good money waiting tables.
Woo! I made great money waiting tables.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now we have the gig economy. We have other things that we can do. I mean, even myself this summer, you know, like, not just to get out of the house and everything, but I was driving for DoorDash a little bit. You know what I mean? I was just trying to, you know, get out, get some fresh air, do something that makes me a little bit of money and try to keep some of my sanity and do something that I knew that people needed. I mean, you know, people still want to eat out, you know, but you can't go out and pay. Let's try to do it safely. You know, I know you told me about your whole photography gigs picking up and stuff.
Yeah,
too, right?
It was kind of like, well, it's not that they picked up. It's, I wasn't working at a job that distracted me from focusing on what I had.
It's a very important distinction.
What I had passion for originally.
Right.
And it was, yeah. So since everything happened, it's like, okay, let me break it down for you guys. So I've been working as a manager in hospitality, but I'm also a creative person. I got this yin yang thing happening in my life. And it's like that job that I have as a manager in hospitality funds what I want to do creatively.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that, like, my cousin taught me. It was my cousin Jennifer. She taught me that if you want to pursue something creatively, realistically, you're probably going to have something that needs to fund that.
What is it that they say? They say, do what you want to do, or do what you need to do so you can do what you want to do.
Exactly.
Boom.
Yeah, so I was doing that, and then once what I needed to do went away, I looked at my camera, and I was like, well, this is all I want to do. Or now, I look at this microphone,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, well, this is what I want to do. So I have more time to focus on that, and, like, I got a couple of gigs, and it's been cool. It's uplifting, like, when you actually get to, like, use your skills. What do you say? Like,
when you got the skills to pay the bills, right?
That's right. Yeah. So I had the skills and I needed to pay the bills.
And then the added benefit that you can just be yourself, you know, you can do what really fulfills you personally. You're not this cog in this machine, so to speak, you know? So you're not creating this character that you have to then step into, you know. You're just being yourself, and you're not having to worry about, oh, should I break character? And there's a lot of characters that we play, you know, being a woman, being a black man, when you're in a certain environment, you got to be appealing to certain people. But guess what? We're not breaking character right now.
No, we are
a couple of characters.
We are in our absolute truest character right now, I feel like, especially. And Bernard and I can talk a little bit about being in character as far as the job that we both had.
Mm-hmm.
So, my first job, like the one that I actually had to do taxes for.
Oh my God. Yo, I forgot that we started our first jobs together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh, 15, 16, so, long time ago.
Going back to the photography thing, I shot school pictures with my mom a lot,
mm-hmm.
but that was before I was 15. So I didn't have, well, no one's supposed to know about that. But is the government listening?
I mean, you can report us at this point.
I know, whatever. That was literally 15 years ago. Hello, 30. Anyway, but I started, I guess, officially working mm-hmm. when I was 15 at Truett's Grill, which, listeners, if y'all don't know, Truett's is an anniversary store for Chick-fil-A. So Chick-fil-A,
same family.
Yeah, Chick-fil-A had been a company for 10 years, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
I could be wrong. But then Truett Cathy decided to build an anniversary store, and it was like a 50s-style diner.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was like,
had a little trolley going around the whole restaurant and everything.
Oh, my gosh, so cute. So it was like, it was an eat-in restaurant, like 50s diner-esque.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a drive-through area, like fast food. It was like a regular old Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
But that's where I started working. And
and I was working at Chick-fil-A at the time.
And he worked at the Chick-fil-A Dwarf House.
Yeah.
Which was also kind of like a staple for Chick-fil-A. Let me just get off the Chick-fil-A tangent.
Well, the point is that when we were both working at Chick-fil-A, and these are our first jobs, right? Because it's funny to, like, look at, like, where we are now and where we started from. But I remember drinking that Chick-fil-A Kool-Aid at the very beginning, you know? And everything that people have grown to love about the hospitality and the customer service and the my pleasure and everything, that is the Kool-Aid that we were drinking when we were 15.
Which is the freshly squeezed lemonade.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean the lemonade that I used to have nightmares about cutting every single morning when I went into work because you cut it fresh every day. But yeah,
it's true. The lemonade is fresh.
Oh my God! And then you get brainwashed into that whole my pleasure thing. Oh my God! I was saying my pleasure so much, like, that I would come home and, like, I would do chores and my mom would be like, oh, thank you for doing that. I'd be like, my pleasure. And I'd be like, whoa, wait a minute. And even in, like, in the drive-thru, when I used to work the drive-thru, I had people that wanted to, like, give me tips and all kinds of stuff. And, you know, this little 15-year-old Bernard. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry, please. That doesn't follow the company protocol. I can't accept your tips. I was very by the book.
Can we hear little 15 Bernard's voice again?
Oh, wait a minute.
What else did he used to say to the drive-thru?
My pleasure. Thank you. How can I help you? Would you like any additional, would you like some Chick-fil-A sauce with that?
I don't know that they had Chick-fil-A sauce when we were working.
That's a good point. There was honey roasted barbecue sauce. There was honey roasted barbecue sauce.
Okay,
though.
So you have to go back and you have to say another sauce that they had when we were working there.
Ooh, that's a really good question. Yeah, that Polynesian sauce, though, that was something that people went crazy
that
about.
That Polynesian?
Yo, and people
are... Can I get some of that prostitution sauce? All of it. We heard it all.
Yo, and people were nuts, man. Like, when people would come in with their weird requests, I mean, it was wild. Like, the cult started years ago. The Chick-fil-A cult started years ago. And I remember you telling me about a story where you were talking about saying my pleasure. And there was this creep.
Yeah. So I'm like, I'm working the drive-thru. Like, I wasn't on the headset. I was in the window.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in the window handing out the bags of food, collecting the cash, whatever. But the guy pulls up and I, you know, hi, sir, your total will be $11.86, yada, yada, mm-hmm. yada. Hand him his bag. And he says, thank you. And I say, my pleasure. What? And he's like,
I can make it your pleasure.
And how old were you? You were like 15, right?
I was like 15, but I just looked at him. Creep. Well, I just looked at him and I was like, First off.
Next time I'm going to say thank you.
Yeah, I was like, first off, I can make it your pleasure, okay? I'm thinking in my head, like now as an adult, I wish I was in that moment because I would have been like, okay. Prove it. Like, make it my pleasure. Come on, what you gonna do? Hop through this window and, like, pour Polynesian sauce all over my body? Like, let's get to it. Like, you wanna make it my pleasure? Make it my pleasure. But 15-year-old me was kind of like, ew. Like,
no,
I'm
of just, course.
I'm like gonna
you're
say
a grown
you're
ass
welcome.
Man, you're a fucking teenager, like.
But I couldn't say you're welcome because, like, what we said earlier is like you don't want to break that customer service character.
You fuck around and get wrote up,
right? Exactly, and everyone in the customer service industry knows that we all have our customer service, like
our hat.
Voices.
Yeah, our voices and our hat that we put on.
Mm-hmm. We put it on. If you're a server, you walk up to the table. Hi, my name is blank. I'll be your server. Blah, blah, blah. It's always like really like high pitchy, like ha ha ha. And then like you go in the kitchen and you're like, oh my gosh, these fucking people. I know they're not gonna tip.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's a different podcast.
Right, right. I mean, you know, but like we were saying before, you know, the cool thing is that it sucks that was like our introduction to the workforce, right? Like you were harassed because let's call it what it is.
I mean, I guess.
I mean, it may not feel like it, but by the textbook definition,
I can make it your pleasure.
You know what I'm saying? Like that's so fucking weird. It's just you fucking weirdo. Like go to Zaxby's or something.
I know, seriously, where they say you're welcome.
You know what I mean? But that's what it was about. Like it was about being this character and ever since we started in the workforce, there was this little character that you got to play. And, you know, it's just nice. It's just nice to know that although we're navigating like these weird ass interview, you know, and this is after we've gotten our degrees and after we've had our experience in the workforce and everything. And Liz, you've even been a manager, you know, you've had to hire other people. You know, we have this opportunity, despite all the bullshit that's happening, for us to be able to just be ourselves and to talk about the things that we feel like people actually want to hear and can relate to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's nice. It's nice to be able to do something like this and not to have to play a character like a fucking cartoon on a TV show.
I know,
not
have to be like, oh, my pleasure. Oh, hi, is everything okay? Like, well, guess what? I don't get booked. Sorry.
You know what I mean?
No, but I do.
Yeah.
And hopefully you guys can identify and kind of like ride this little road that we've been on as well because, I mean, look. everyone knows, it's been a rough ride this year, and unemployment can only last for so long. There are people that are like, I mean, we're doing our best.
Yeah.
I say there are people, but it's like, I kind of feel like I've gotten to the point where like I'm like, 10
million
shit.
People.
Like, I'm literally, like, when I say I'm looking up fun jobs in Atlanta, just because I've gotten so bored
yep.
with job searching
yep.
that I'm looking up just to see what else is out there. Just to be like, well, what's next? Like, what can I do? Like, because at the end of the day, like, bills are, they just need to get paid. And
yeah. They're always going to need to
yeah,
get paid.
Yeah, and I mean, I can find a job that's going to pay the bills. Mm-hmm. Like, I can go wait tables.
Right.
Gladly. Like, you just got to, like, slap your pride against the wall and be like, fuck you, pride. Like, I got bills to pay. Like,
yeah.
It don't even matter at this point anymore.
Which is really which awesome.
Meanwhile, yeah, Bernard and I will just be sitting in this closet talking about stuff like this. But one thing
mm-hmm.
we're really excited about, introducing you guys to like our family and our different cultures.
Sure.
Which is gonna be what really ties this whole podcast together.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of really great ideas about things. Like, there's yeah. a lot of different sayings that Bernard and I have grown up with.
A lot of lessons we've gotten from yeah. those sayings.
Yeah, and we're super excited about sharing those with you all. And
different languages, but same effect.
Yeah, different languages, but same effect. Wow, that's awesome.
But yeah, so on our next episode, we will be exploring the art of storytelling for y'all, where I'll actually have a family member of mine and Elizabeth will have a family member of hers. And over the next two episodes, we're going to dive a little bit deeper into how we navigate some of these turbulent times and these fun and frustrating times of things like interviewing and navigating a pandemic, which I don't know anybody else that's gone through something like that, but they're one of
them. But you know. I know like a million people who have, and it's everyone who's listening to us right now.
Oh, yeah. This pandemic, absolutely. You know, so what we want to share with y'all is not only the turbulent things that we're all going through, but also the things that help us get through it. And on our next two episodes, we'll have a two-part segment where we talk about the lessons that have been passed down to us and the stories that have been told. But we're going to introduce you all to some of the sayings that we have. We'll also introduce you to some of our family members. So we really appreciate y'all listening to us this long. We do have an Instagram page that we'd like for you all to follow. Liz, if you want to tell them
yeah,
where they can
so
find us.
Yeah, so the Instagram page is @heyyall_
mm-hmm.
que lo que. Please continue to follow us. We promise we're gonna be much more active.
Yeah,
like, we're just getting our toes wet, y'all. Like, this whole podcast thing, like, it's
been a beast.
Yeah, it's a deal.
Yeah,
anyway, but we're gonna be more active.
Absolutely.
And please follow us on that, because we'll definitely post upcoming episodes and
yeah.
we'll throw little tidbits about what's going to come soon.
Yeah, and there are a lot of things that we reference on these episodes that we want to just show y'all, honestly. And
yeah.
and we're going to be doing that on Instagram. So if you all can hit that follow button and check us out, there's also a link in the bio that'll take you directly to the main site where all of our episodes are housed. We're actually on a bunch of different platforms now. We're on Breaker, we're on Apple Music, we're on Spotify, we're on
Radio Public,
Anchor. If you go to our Instagram page, you'll see all of them. I think we're up to 9 platforms now.
Yeah.
We will also give y'all an episode about every 2 weeks. And
yeah, that seems very realistic.
Yeah, yeah,
right now.
Absolutely. I know a lot of folks after a week, we get calls and messages like, when's the next one? So it'll be every 2 weeks. And once we get into a nice little rhythm, we will start to, we'll let y'all know if there are any changes. If we decide to move it up to once a week, we'll definitely do that. But we really appreciate y'all being patient as we get our feet wet with this process.
so appreciative.
Yeah, we sincerely appreciate it. And we are really excited about these next two episodes because you'll get to know a lot more, not just about Elizabeth and myself, but also a deeper dive into the Southern culture and also Dominican culture.
Woo! I'm excited about that.
So thank you all for tuning in, and we will see y'all next week.
Yeah, see you next week.
All right, this has been Hey Y'all Feel Okay with Bernard.
And Elizabeth.
And we really appreciate y'all stopping by.
Yeah, thanks for coming through. We can't wait to see y'all next time.